Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihade Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihade Gopidana Vallava Iri Baradari Gopi Jana Vallava Iri Baradari Yasoda Nandana Praja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Praja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihade Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihade Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radhe Jaya Gaura Nityai Gaura Nityai Gaura Nityai Gaura Nityai This is a very, very beautiful text, a very amazing text. The translation is, Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. Purport. It has been explained in the previous verse that all desires on the mental platform become visible one after another. Sometimes, however, by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole stockpile can be visible all at one time. In Brahma Sangita, it is said, Kamani Nirahati Kintu Chabakti Bhajam. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile of material desires is minimized. Indeed, the desires no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies. Instead, the stockpile of desires becomes visible on the mental platform by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the most amazing purport I have read since a long, long time. In this connection, so I'm not sure if you can grasp that you are now hearing something maybe for the first time in your life. Usually, Srila Prabhupada explains, we have material desires which become visible one after the other. First we want this, then we may want a house, then we may want to change into another ashram, maybe we want to travel to see India, maybe we wish to experience many things. So usually this becomes visible all at one time, and it usually also, when there's a strong material desire, it becomes fulfilled in another burst. So the person who has this desire will take birth again to fulfill this desire. However, since bhakti burns karma to the root, something very amazing is happening in the process. Have you ever asked, how will all my karma be burned? Will it just be gone? Here an answer is given that sometimes Krishna shows you in a vision all your material desires, and in this way, by looking at them, maybe by becoming shocked about them, you become the karma is gone. Now an example is given. In this connection, the darkness is occurring before the full moon, the lunar eclipse, can be explained as being another planet known as Rahu. According to Vedic astronomy, the Rahu planet, which is not visible, is accepted. Sometimes the Rahu planet is visible in the presence of full moonlight. It then appears that this Rahu planet exists somewhere near the orbit of the moon. The failure of modern moon excursionists may be due to the Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet, Rahu. Actually, they are not going to the moon, but to the planet Rahu. And after reaching this planet, they come back. Apart from this discussion, the point is that a living entity has immense and unlimited desires for material enjoyment. And he has to transmigrate from one gross body to another until these desires are exhausted. No living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, Sadvaika Nishte, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is freed of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Mother Yashoda's seeing the whole cosmic manifestation within the mouth of Lord Krishna. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Mother Yashoda saw all the universes and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna-conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. Why we see things not experienced in this life is explained herein. That which we see is the future expression of a gross body or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. Because a Krishna-conscious person does not have to accept a future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. We therefore sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. In this verse, a particular aspect of Lord Krishna's mercy is explained. Lord Krishna's, or Lord Chaitanya, we can refer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is manifested in three particular ways. This has been expressed by Swarup Damodar Goswami when he came and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. I want to find this verse for you. And please let us pray that I find it. Krishna. Helanduta. We will find it very easily. Do not worry. But please pray. Here it is. As you may know, Swarup Damodar was known as Purushottam when he resided in Navadvip. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Purushottam became so mad with desperation that he thought, what is this world? My Lord has taken sannyas and left. And he could not bear the separation from Mahaprabhu and went to Benares where he took half sannyas by one Chaitanyananda Bharati. He cut his sikha and took away his Brahmin thread, but he did not dress in saffron robes, nor did he take accept danda, and also no sannyas name. He kept a name, a brahmachari name, because Swarup Damodar's renunciation was not to become known as a big sannyasi. It was not for name and fame. It was for renouncing everything which was unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. Real sannyas is really to give up karmic activities which are for sense gratification and mental gratification. The level of sannyas is a very exalted one. It is not at all external, but very internal. So when when he was in Banaras, he heard that his lord was in Jagannath Puri, and he had such a great desire to go and serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he traveled to Puri, and went into Mahaprabhu's presence. And Mahaprabhu recognized his old friend from the Navadvip times. He was so extremely enlivened that he said, Swarup, how could you leave me? And Swarup said, it shows I have no devotion to you. That's why I could travel to a foreign country. But you have not given up on me. In fact, you have taken the rope of your mercy and you have pulled me to come into your association again. Mahaprabhu rushed towards Swarup Damodar and embraced him. And then told him he should pay his obeisances to Lord Nityananda and Jagadananda Pandit. So Swarup Damodar, when he met or re-met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanted a very, very beautiful shloka in which he expresses the three ways in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows his mercy. Do you want to know this shloka? That is very encouraging. Helo dhunita kedaya vishadaya pranmila dhamodaya samyat shastra vivadaya rasadaya chitar piton madaya shashvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya Madhuya Maya Daya Sri Chaitanya Daya Nideta Vadaya Bhuyat Amandada Amandodaya Amandodaya. Yes. Yes. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation, by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendent bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your costless mercy. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributes Hare Krishna, long time no see. Hier sind die beschäftigsten Devotees von unserem Projekt. Wir fühlen uns geehrt und ein großes Privileg ist uns Anteil geworden. Wir hören gerade die drei Arten, wie Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seine Mercy den bedingten Seelen gibt. Das ist ein interessantes Thema, nicht? Wie genau kommt die Mercy zu uns? So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, auspicious mercy comes, then the material lamentation of a devotee will stop. His misery will stop. Why? Because his mind becomes very pure and very pure. The second way is that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy will make it very, very clear what is the satya or the goal of the perfection which the Vedic scriptures talk about. Mahaprabhu's mercy will make it very clear to a person who receives the mercy that it is bhakti, and bhakti alone, which is the whole purport of the Vedic scriptures. To attain devotional service or bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the goal, and also the means. No confusion any longer about the scriptures is there. And the next aspect of Mahaprabhu's mercy is that this mercy, like a ray which brings a flower to burst forth and blossom, this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings rasa into our heart. That is a mellow taste, ein absolut wunderschöner Geschmack of Krishna, either in the different rasas. A devotee who is getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will, in other words, feel love of Godhead in his heart. So I want to talk today about one aspect of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is something so amazing and something so absolutely mystical that I really hope that it can reach your heart. I want to talk about the first aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Now, what is material misery? What is the cause of lamentation? My dear devotees, don't get shocked, but it is our material desires which are in our heart and which compel us, which force us to take on one material body after the other. I think we are all aware of this in our own spiritual lives. Don't we sometimes feel, oh, my dear Lord, if I could just be free from desires, which are separate from your desires, then I would be a blissful, highly enlightened devotee. Then I would have no worries, I would have no anxieties, I just would be totally, blissful. Yes, I may have some anxieties in your service, but these anxieties are another aspect of transcendental bliss. I think we all can sympathize with this. But because our heart is a place where, since time immemorial, material desires have appeared and because our heart is also a place where there is a pile of these material desires. Therefore, we are not as blissful or as uncomplicated in our spiritual lives as we would like to be. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides to give a devotee his kripa, his mercy, he will do something very, very special. He will take care of his material desires, but in a very, very unusual, very amazing way. What he will do is, he will show the devotee, either in a dream or a vision, the whole stockpile of material desires in a vision, so that the devotee sees these material desires before him arising. The devotee will usually also see the consequences of those material desires. It means the karmic reactions and the material bodies which are coming out of these desires. This is a very special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to a devotee. The example which is here, are two examples which are given for the in this. One is Lord Krishna, who showed his mother Yashoda the whole cosmic manifestation by opening his mouth, and Yashoda saw in the mouth of her son everything, the cosmic form, really. It was Krishna chose to show this to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda saw this for a moment, and she reacted to this. She thought, "What is this? This is my little boy, and in his mouth I see the whole cosmic manifestation. Who is my little boy? Who is he that he can show such a thing? And I see myself also in the mouth of my boy." Then, by Krishna's inconceivable mercy, a cat began to scream just next to this. Meow! Meow! It was very loud. Meow! Krishna, wie sagt man, zuckte zusammen. Was schockt. Yashoda thought, oh Gott. Gott, here I see the proof. He's an ordinary boy. He's shocked by the cat, and she took her boy and pressed him to her heart. It's not so bad. Your mother is here. And in this way she forgot all about this. This one example. Krishna had shown an extraordinary vision. The second example, which shows how the devotee sees something, the result of his material desires, is, the planet Rahu. According to Vedic astronomy, there is this invisible planet Rahu, which sometimes covers the moon. People can't usually see it, but under very special circumstances, that is a full moonlight, I believe it must be full moon, because full moonlight is only available in full moon, that planet becomes visible. And if you look during some full moons, and you look in to the moon, and you put a glass on, special visible. I believe I someone once gave me glasses, and I saw it. You see an idea of this inauspicious planet is a Rahu, very inauspicious. Rahu, when someone is in his Rahu phase, when Rahu works on you, you feel extreme misery. But it's a type of misery which covers your spirituality. There's another misery giver. He is called Ketu. But this Ketu is giving you misery, but this misery brings you to Krishna. If you want to know my a secret about my horoscope, I have Ketu. My life is not easy in this world, but this Ketu is good, and I have learned to make friends with him, because he always drives me to Krishna. I just feel the reaction is, oh, this world is not for enjoyment. It's very clear to me, and it drives you to Krishna. But Rahu, oh, Rahu just pushes you down, and then when you are in, and then if you're not a strong devotee of the Lord, then your spirituality or Krishna consciousness can get covered over, and you feel, I should enjoy the material world again. This is the example. This is an example for this subject which I want to discuss now. This is, I hope you can understand, it's a deep spiritual psychology which you will hear now. Our hearts, according to Vyasadeva, who writes a commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, is the place where desires appear, and it's the place where the desires also disappear upon receiving either mercy or spiritual enlightenment. So it disappears. So, for a devotee who has received the mercy of Krishna, Krishna will take care of his material desires in a special way. First of all, he will make these material desires visible to the devotee. The devotee becomes momentarily covered, just like Rahu becomes sometimes visible if there is an extraordinary strong light. So Krishna makes with his mercy the material desires visible, and it's a stockpile of material desires. This is discussed in many spiritual traditions. For instance, hallelujah, we are in this is a Christian time. Johannes der Täufer, Johann the Baptist, I believe, he went into the desert and he saw all of a sudden all these things. Jesus was also tempted by the devil, they say, the Bible says. I'm remembering all my Bible studies. Johannes vom Kreuz, John of the Cross speaks of the dark night of the soul. It actually means something a little different, but anyways, in the language of modern men, this is the understanding of Johannes the Cross, but it's really a wrong understanding. Anyways, because we are so much using this language, I will also use it here. The dark night of the soul. And it does happen in Krishna consciousness also. The devotee becomes aware of amazing material desires. This happens sometimes in a dream, where the devotee has sexual fantasies in a dream, and he thinks, "Whoop! I was not so interested in this before I came to Krishna consciousness." Krishna also sometimes during chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra makes this material desires very visible, that you, those who have done vratas, know that as they chant the, and sit down the whole day, all of a sudden a firework starts in the mind, where so many material desires do become visible. But it can also happen in the ordinary course of a life of a devotee, that all of a sudden, whoops, he becomes aware of so many material desires. Oops, I want to have a palace building, I want to have a fast car, I want to have a bloody blah, and so many things. And please note, this is mercy. It's not bad. It is mercy. You become a... I would say it's mercy in two ways. This is now Sachinanda Swami's interpretation. I will leave the text a little bit. First of all, you understand you're not so great as you want to be, Mr. Great Devotee, and as you want to others to believe you are. That's very humiliating. It's very good for us, especially us Westerners, who like to be so, such good showmen and showwomen in the arena of bhakti. The second is that, and this is what the text speaks about. You see all the stockpile of material desires, so that you do not have to take many births again to fulfill them, one after the other. My dear devotees, I'm not discussing, or we are not discussing here, the material desires which happen, which are maybe also natural desires for security as we get older, desires for health, desires for good friends and so on, which are maybe necessary so that we can function in our life. No, I'm speaking now of something else, and I hope you understand the difference. It's the stockpile of all your material desires, which you have seen, which you have accumulated life after life, and which are all of a sudden there in a disturbing vision. I would like to say something very practical here. I was thinking before this lecture, should I tell it or should I not tell it? But because I feel here in Goloka, here in the Sangha Mela, all of us are quite related to each other. In other words, we know each other. There are no Fremden here, no foreigners here. I would, for a moment, with your permission, like to leave a formal presentation of Krishna consciousness and tell you something very, very personal. I won't go in the, you will most probably understand that I will be too sensitive to go into all the details, but I want to talk principally about it. As I visited Kanai Natashala, I had a certain concept about Gaur Dham. I thought it is the place where everything is extremely easy because it is the place of the greatest mercy. This was my concept. I experienced that Lord Chaitanya chose to give me a mercy which was which is discussed here, the mercy which drives away material desires by showing you what is actually the consequence of material desires which have entangled the soul life after life in samsara. I saw, while I was chanting, something which happened already 9 years ago at the site of Giriraj, but this time it was much stronger. I saw all these material desires coming from my subconsciousness, where they are there in an invisible form, and they were coming up I thought, wow, was, yes, genau, ich kann es nicht glauben. Also wirklich, das war meine Reaktion, so richtig norddeutsch, ich kann es einfach nicht glauben. So my first reaction was, I'm now going into an intense state. What if Gaurahari sees me? He's already struggling. And if he sees me struggling, then whoops. And he's as sensitive as I am. So I lock the door. Bang. Okay, I'm ready. But please, I'm an ordinary human being. Not too much. Anyways, Mahaprabhu gave it all. And it crashed me on the floor. And but afterwards, after it was over, I could understand intuitively, not with this, I did not know this verse as of yet, intuitively, I could understand for the first time in my life, I don't think I could fully understand, but how terribly the mistake is that we have left Krishna, and what we have done by coming into this world and becoming Bahirmukha Jivas, means persons who look outside into the world of material world. I could see how, because of this Bahirmukha, it means by him, external face means you turn your face outwardly. I could really see, my dear devotees, that this is an entanglement which I do not want. I could further see that the reason why we cannot fully surrender is, at least in my case, it is a lack of faith that when I turn fully to Krishna, Krishna will fully take care of me. He has promised this. Yeyatamang prapadyante. But it's not so easy to believe for a conditioned soul. And therefore, the conditioned soul wants to make his own arrangements for his security and so on. Well, I could see that while making these own arrangements, material desires creep in, which will prolong the material existence. And I saw this, and I was looking at it like a child will look at a movie. First of all, I was highly interested because this was very, very interesting what I saw. But then I saw it relates all to me. It relates to the future bodies which I will have to take and so on. But then later, when I came back to Goloka Dham, this verse came into my life, where it is said that this actually is Krishna's body. Such observation, the Bhagavatam says, is not always possible, but it becomes manifest, exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. Aha, it's full moon. It's the Purna Chandra. Chandramasi. Yes, the Tama, the dark planet, becomes present in the full light, in the Chandramasi, in the light of Krishna consciousness. So, at such a stage now, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first mercy has been gotten. That is, you see, everything becomes very pure in the light of His mercy, and you see the cause of your material desires. It's very, very, very important for a devotee to not hold on to material desires, to not continue material desires. Now, this is not so easy. It's not at all easy. I believe some of us here who have gone to the school of honesty know that these material desires are... Sometimes it seems it's not always in our power to stop them. It is, however, possible if you turn to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and continue to stay in the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means that transcendental bliss becomes awakened in your heart because you develop bhakti in your spiritual life. Have you sometimes become annoyed when someone asks you, how are you, Guido? How are you, Ananda Chaitanya? How are you, Damayanti? We feel, what to answer to this question? How am I? What does this question mean? You know, is it relating to my health, or is it relating to my mental balance, or is it relating to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said what this question, how are you, means. It means, how is your bhakti, Ram Gopal? How is your bhakti, Damodar Priya? No need to answer in a public assembly such a question. If your bhakti is strong, you are well. When your bhakti is weak, you're not well. You will be overcome by material desires, which will pull you, and which can never satisfy you in your heart, which can never stop your crying for the Lord. By Chaitanya, I would like in the following lectures to explain a little bit about how to obtain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Because I would like to address one doubt which I feel is very much in the way of obtaining material. Mahaprabhu's mercy. It's the doubt that, can Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really give me his mercy? And does he really want to give me his mercy? And how is it possible to obtain his mercy? Very often we may think, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now 500 years back, and is he still active today? I mean, I have not seen him. I want to believe in him, but belief is something which is either there or not there. So, by Krishna's mercy, we will hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ever presence, and how we can contact him during this time. But I wanted to, in this lecture, first of all, pacify you and make your heart happy by saying, if you feel material desires and see, have a dream, you know, where you find yourself in an embarrassing situation, don't despair, nicht verzweifeln. It can well be that it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing you what you would become if you would not be in spiritual life. It's only important that you do not act upon these material desires, which become momentarily visible in the mind, and that when you feel that these desires are there, that you do something to increase the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This doesn't sound right. How can we do something to obtain mercy? I want to say it differently. That you put yourself in a place in your life where the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can easily reach you. Then you will feel transcendental bliss in your life, and transcendental happiness, and these material things which have previously distracted you from Krishna consciousness become overwhelmed and become no longer visible. Hare Krishna. Because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept a future gross body, his recorded desires, means the desires which are there in the heart, recorded, are fulfilled in a dream. Do you dream sometimes crazy things? Parivaru. Kommt schon vor. Parivaru is our most pure. So if he dreams crazy things, we should not be ashamed. This is because, you see, all of us, please do not have any doubt. We are ordinarily meant to go through many more lives in this world. This is our destiny. We are cosmic trampers. We are on our hitchhike through different material bodies. This is what we are. We are not so great. We are very ordinary. But we have gotten a great mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See you on planet Venus in my next life. You know, this is how we are. You know, I'm saying it in a poetic way, you know, in a what do you think will happen when all of a sudden God's mercy comes and comes in between this? Will it be that from one day to the other you go, I'm enlightened? I mean, there are such examples of devotees who went to Mahaprabhu's kirtans and so on. But for us here, it will mean a very serious Auseinandersetzung. Auseinandersetzung, wie sagt man das in English? A very serious confrontation at first, and then work upon our stockpile of material desires, which will bring us. But this is easy because the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you see it, bang, wow. And if you stay with Mahaprabhu's mercy, you will find the strength to overcome this thing. And how this is so, we will hear then the next few lectures. Hare Krishna. Those of you who like to read verses, this verse of Swarup Damodar is in Madhya Lila, chapter 10, text 119. The verse which describes how the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts upon you. And here, Prabhupada writes, the transcendental causeless mercy of Lord Krishna, Krishna means Chaitanya, is manifested in the heart of the devotee. At such a time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desires also vanishes. By the grace of the Lord, one is elevated to the transcendental position, and then the transcendental mellows, wohlgeschmack, of the spiritual world are manifested in him. One's devotional service then becomes firm, and one engages in the Lord's transcendent and loving service with great determination. All these combine to fully awaken the devotee's heart with love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. So we are on a very serious lecture series. Today it has started. Then we will have a few more. And I'm very, very much looking forward for the Sylvester, where we will have a very interesting session with our professor and myself on this subject. Dobro. So let me see if you have any questions at this moment, taking responsibility for the Murali. You will be amazed to hear in my first confrontation. Let me ask, repeat the question again for those who will hear the lecture in a different way, in a tape or whatever. Murali asks, you spoke about turning away from Krishna, becoming Bahiyamukha. Could you also talk about taking responsibility for this? Because it's usually seen, if one takes responsibility for something, one is turning from the passive victim into an active person, and something can change. It's very amazing that I have an answer to this, that in my first confrontation, yet it was a confrontation with Srila Prabhupada, I have to say this. This was addressed, and Prabhupada spoke about this to me. See, there was a time when I came to Krishna consciousness where I began to just intuitively feel, if I stay with Krishna consciousness, my whole life will become, involved with Krishna consciousness. Every single area of my life will be Krishna conscious. And because I was, and I'm very materialistic, I was very afraid of this. I was very, very afraid. I didn't want an influence covering my life. I wanted to be the person who makes the decisions and who is in control, really. And I was afraid of Krishna consciousness. So I met Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Prabhupada came and Prabhupada gave this one lecture. And at the end of the lecture, I felt this so much like a rebel feels. I wanted to turn against Prabhupada and against Krishna consciousness and leave this what was pulling me but also threatening me, in the sense that I would lose the control. So I phrased my protest in a question which I thought Prabhupada could not answer. And then I thought, well, if he can't, for sure he can't answer, because this is a question no one can answer, then I will leave Krishna consciousness. I have a good reason to leave. You know, isn't that what we, at least people who come to me to preach, where I preach with them, they raise doubts so that they don't need to surrender. This is what I experience almost once or twice a week in my service as a preacher. So here, I did the same thing, which I have seen many people do. And I said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is, Krishna is all good, like you say. How could he create this material world, which is all bad, for the conditioned souls? Why did he do Maya, create Maya, which makes us so much trouble, if he is all good, like you have said, and if he is compassionate, the well-wisher? Prabhupada looked at me. He clearly looked at me, and it was difficult. You know, I had posed the question, and Prabhupada said, "What is that?" He wanted to hear the question again, in other words. Okay, I put the question with as much force as I could before him. Contradiction. Prabhupada looked at me, and then he gave his answer, and I think you will like this answer, Murali, because he brought me into the position where I had to take responsibility for being in the material world. He said, "Not Krishna created Maya, you created Maya." Something happened in this answer. Something which is, you can't really give any rational reasons why this happened. It has often in the language of spiritual literature, this has often been said that someone gets an answer from a sadhu, and this answer changes his life around, and there is no reason for an outsider why this changed his life around. What it did to me is, I understood I was fully responsible for Maya, and I can also stop Maya if I want. I can stop being in a material life if I want. If I want. If I want. that was what it did to me. And my reaction was very clear. I wrote a letter to Germany and said, "I'm not coming back. I will go the path of the ecstatic human beings. I'm not going to come back. I will come back after some time, but I will be a different person with different goals and different life." And I know it came as a shock to many of friends and relatives who came and visited me in London to see how real my decision was. Yes. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for this wonderful question, Murali. And I was very happy that I could give an answer which was in my life active. Is there any other question, please? Bolko, habe ich deine Hand gesehen, oder? Nein, nicht wirklich. Ich hatte gedacht, ich hätte sie gesehen. I think there was another hand up. I don't know. You want to eat prasadam. Okay. That's very good. I want to say this lecture was a little serious to the other lectures. I mean serious, I hope every lectures always should be serious, but other subjects will be discussed tomorrow. And I'm very, very excited about this lecture series. I'm very happy. Once again, those who were this morning shocked when the fire brigade came, it was a harmless fire in the chimney, which had no consequences on taking lives or properties away. It was maybe a reminder of Lord Krishna for all of us that we live in a dangerous world. I was thinking, oh no. If the guest house is burnt down, all our guests are burning down. Krishna. And I started to pray. Because that's all I know. So, yes, Krishna said, no problem. So, we need to have a little... Yeah? Can we do this... Können wir das gleich im Anschluss machen? Also, weil wir jetzt schon zum Ende sind und die sind ja hungrig. Also, das spürt man ja in den Augen. Sieht man das. The day after Ekadasi. You know. So, can someone just go to the poster? What is the next item on our program, please? Oli, weißt du es auswendig? Oder? Ach, super. Bhagavad, Tridasha Roy, it's all right. Bhagavad Dharma will give us an orientation. Okay, so please let us just stay and hear Bhagavad Dharma. Bitte komm. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, sisi go nitai ki, go premanandi hari hari bo.